Often vulgar, always explicit, and sometimes funny.
Slap box. Slap box.
Welcome to the Slapbox Podcast. This is episode 606. I'm your host, Josh Albrecht, recording once again inside the Slapbox penthouse. My trusty sidekick, Agent Fox Mulder, is stalking around me somewhere. He's hiding. He's probably going to attack me at any moment. As he just got fed, I figured he'd chill out, but he's doing some weird shit. There was a... He had the remnants of a claw that, you know, came off. And that was, like, in the hallway, and he started, like, chewing on it. I don't know. He's being really weird. He just ate. I don't know what this is. Very strange. Very strange. Feel like he may attack me at any moment. You can probably hear it in my voice, but I'm still congested as shit. I got all this phlegm and snot going on. And I thought I saw the cat behind me, but I was just seeing reflections. I'm getting paranoid. Get real paranoid. Yeah, real congested. Not like feeling like super sick or anything, just fucking can't get rid of this snot. And like an insane amount of snot has been coming through my nose in the last week. It's just like fucking an insane amount. Like it just won't stop. Like even if I get a lot out, I can feel that there's still just a ton more in there. It won't come out. It's stuck. It's lodged in there. It has no desire to want to exit my fucking nose. And so I got a little bit of a weird sounding voice. Weird sounding. Got the congested sound. Which sometimes can quite sound good. You know what I'm saying? But yeah, I don't know. It's just fucking weird. It's fucking annoying is what it is. It's fucking annoying that I can't get it out. It's like I just want to get some vacuum and try to just suck it all out. Just hook it up to a fucking, like, one of my nostrils and just suck it all out. Like, what the stuff that I've seen that when they do liposuction, which is just brutal to watch. And you watch that and you realize, man, people get, it's supposed, you know, it sounds like they're doing a real, you know, surgical thing. Like, it's... take some real skill, and in reality they're just stabbing the fuck out of your fat and then just sucking it out. It looks so fucking archaic and disgusting, and just like it's not pleasant. I don't know why anybody would go through that. I did just see that there's cosmetic surgery now. Speaking of like liposuction, instead of working out to get that six-pack abs, I got some fucking weird shit going on. Some popping on the microphone. I don't know what's up with that. It's popping like Mary Poppins. And, anyway, yeah, new surgery for... I'm gonna look at the pictures of this. See, abs and cats? What the fuck? What is there a surgery for abs and cats? I don't know. Let's put six-pack abs. That'll, let's see here. That should, abdominal etching. That's what it's, oh man. This is fucked up. this is really fucked up. But yeah, instead of, like, working out, I'm gonna regret looking at the photos of this. Ab etching. It's fucked up, man. It's really fucked up. Like, they're just taking your fat and then turning it into making it look like six packs abs. It's just fat. It's not muscle. I can't imagine this is good for you. Let's see. Oh, it's been around for a while, I guess, since 2020. I was just made aware of it now. There's an article from 2020. Here's a from a year ago from GQ. Man, how did I miss this before? Ugh. Where's from GQ? Welcome to the era of the fake six pack. Chiseled visible abs. were once something you'd see only on genetically gifted gym rats. That's not genetically gifted, man. It takes a lot to fucking go through that. You got to put some effort in. Even if you've got like better genes and stuff, it requires a lot of work. Anyway, but these days a growing number of men are paying big money to have a surgeon do the chiseling for them, which does you no good, just saying, other than cosmetically. At the 1993 conference of the International Society of Aesthetic Plastic Surgeons in Paris, a young doctor gave a speech with a provocative hook. What if liposuction could be used to give men six-pack abs? To the crowd of surgeons, the idea seemed foolish. There was a little bit of uneasiness with the technique, remembers the surgeon Dr. Henry Mentz. He was largely ignored. But Mentz had proof that this procedure could work. In 1992, he had been approached by a male model who, despite being in excellent shape, was never quite able to get a chiseled stomach. Could Mentz help? The model specifically asked if Mentz, who was just starting out in his practice, could use liposuction to carve grooves that would reveal his underlying abdominal muscles. He gave it a shot. The results looked good, so Mentz did the procedure a second time and a third and a fourth. He co-authored a paper on this new technique, which he called abdominal etching. Now, 30 years later, he's performed the operation over 3,000 times, so I guess it's been around for a while. 30 years. Ugh. Over the years, Mentz gave more speeches at more conferences. I am really behind the times on this. I don't know why it became such a thing I heard of recently. Anyway, new technology has made the operation easier and available to more patients. Other surgeons embraced and evangelized the tech, some learning from Mentz, others cooking up similar ideas on their own, like agricultural and calculus. Agriculture and calculus. Abdominal etching seems to have been invented in several places at around the same time. It just looks fucking weird. I mean, it doesn't look quite right. See here, at plastic surgery conferences, ab etching went from fringe topic to headlining act. Dr. Daniel Markman, a Baltimore-based plastic surgeon who independently began etching abs 20 years ago, says that at a 2021 conference, it was all anyone could talk about. When Markman started his practice decades ago, less than 5% of his clients were men. That has jumped to 30%, and he says it's all six-pack abs. Now abdominal operations are everywhere. If you look on almost any plastic surgeon's website, they will have a section on men, and they'll have a picture of a model who has zero body fat and really defined abs. This is Dr. Joshua Corman. Ooh, a fellow Joshua. A plastic surgeon based in Mountain View, California. He isn't surprised by the rising popularity. The lure of a six-pack is obvious. That's what high school boys want. That sounds fucking weird. That's what high school boys want. It sounds very perverted and, you know, fucked up. Especially in this day and age when, you know, there's a lot of people, you know, getting in trouble over the whole pedophilia thing. There's the not the creator of Rick and Morty. He was found to be kind of a dick to a woman that worked under him, but it wasn't like, he was just kind of being a dick, not like a sexual assault kind of thing. Anyway, but there, yeah, and he apologized for that. Dan Harmon seems like a fairly decent dude, especially when it comes to being in Hollywood sort of thing. Anyway, I was going to get it as Dan Schneider of course, it was on the old 80s show, head of the class, but more known for these days, making a fuck ton of Nickelodeon shows and just, being a real creeper, real sick fuck with the kiddies. Anyway, that's what that's what high school boys want line made me think of. Anyway, it says, following in this article here, that's what college guys want. Okay, that sounds not as creepy. That's what all people of all ages want. All right. And it's also what celebrities want. Fake abs might be the best-kept secret in Hollywood. Dr. Gregory Lacken, another plastic surgeon who developed ab etching on his own, says that his patients include actors, singers, dancers, and models, even porn stars. He can't disclose their identities for obvious reasons. You can understand why actors would be tempted. It's not easy to replicate the abs of a Jersey Shore guy. You know, I can see why actors would do it. I mean, if you want to get cut and destroy, you know, for a massive role that's going to, you know, rake in millions of dollars, this is a quick and easy way to do it. As a fucking normal person, like, what the fuck are you doing? Go to the fucking gym, asshole. Anyway, just ask Jersey Shore guy. I've always been a workout fanatic, and I can't do a Jersey Shore accent. Anyway, and I've always been in shape, but it also takes a lot of hard work to stay in shape. Jersey Shore star Ronnie Ortiz Magro said on Ease, The Doctors, which devoted an episode to his ab-etching transformation. Or take the Australian reality star turned politician Darren Lyons, who went public with his ab-etching, saying basically it's the male version of the boob job. This article goes on for way too long. Yeah, it's a big thing, ab-etching. I was just unaware of it until fairly recently. It's kind of fucked up, though. It's kind of fucked up. I'm trying to look at more. I'm not doing ab etching. I'm just going to say I've had abs before. I've had nice fucking abs in 2015. Man. Ooh, I had some nice abs. Some nice abs. I was much younger at that point. This was 9 years ago. And I was in fucking shape. That being said, I don't want abs like this. I don't want fake abs, motherfuckers. gladiator abs transformation. A lot of these guys that are doing it, you're still seeing the fat around the sides and shit. You know? It's not like, it's just fucked up, man. It doesn't look real in most of these fucking photos. It looks like you're doing something weird. It's not much. I feel like that could really see here. Ab etching. Etching problems. problems. There's got to be. Yeah, let's hear like Healthline has to say about this. I want to know more about the. I want to see what the negative side effects. There's got to be some bad things that are going to happen. I mean, you got fat rolled up in like muscles. Isn't that going to prevent you? Like, what if you actually started getting some muscles underneath it? That's going to be really fucked up. targeted areas, risks and side effects. Here we go. Here's where it gets hopefully interesting. Abdominal etching is considered a low-risk cosmetic procedure, but that doesn't mean there isn't a risk of complications and side effects. Common side effects of after a liposuction procedure like abdominal etching include nerve and blood vessel damage, skin discoloration, bumpy skin or irregular healing, swelling, fluid accumulation, anesthesia, bruising, or headaches. You may also notice pus or discharge coming from the side of your procedure. That sounds yummy. If the pus is greenish or yellow tinge, contact your doctor. Having a fever in the days after an abdominal etching, it's a snowman procedure, etching, may also be a sign of infection. Let your doctor know about the side effects and seek emergency medical care right away if you suspect you have an infection. Infection can kill you. That's not a joke. Well, here we go. Austin Gynecomastia Center. Why I'm not a fan of abdominal etching. Which this guy's also a fucking plastic surgeon, it sounds like. Whoever wrote this fucking article. There's a picture of a guy. I'm assuming it's a guy. Maybe it's a... It doesn't say who wrote the article. Anyway. Yada, yada, ba-ba-ba. Abdominal etching refers to a liposuction technique and possible fat transfer to create the appearance of sculpted abdominal muscles. This procedure interests many as they believe innovation and technology can do anything fast to get the look they desire. Who cares about your actual health? Why put in the time and effort to optimize your weight and build larger abdominal muscles when you can just pay for a procedure for the same results? Ah, such an American way to live, huh? For reference, I have performed This is the, I'm assuming, doctor speaking. I've performed many thousands of liposuction procedures over the past 4 decades and have learned much about what is possible, what is safe, and what is normal. I have no problem offering my patients safe and reliable procedures that makes them motivated and happy. However, I can't recommend abdominal etching to my family members or patients because it simply makes no sense on many levels, as I will explain. First, the result in most patients appears unnatural and artificial, if not bizarre. Fat transferred to appear as muscle feels soft and looks like muffins on your abdomen. Do you know how long the result of abdominal etching lasts? I don't, and I can tell you that most patients fluctuate in weight throughout their lives, and that as we get older, we gain weight. This isn't a good omen when it comes to finely sculpted abdominal muscles. Will it be possible to satisfactorily fix a botched abdominal etching procedure? How do you think you will feel when you do? You did something that was a mistake and is impossible to fix. The best candidate for abdominal sculpting with the appearance of a six-pack is a patient who already has well-developed abdominal muscles and a modest layer of overlaying fat. In this patient, contouring the fatty layer on top of the muscles will expose the shape of the six-pack abdominal musculature. The most likely person seeking abdominal etching is someone who is not in the best shape, is likely well outside their ideal healthy weight, and is looking for a quick fix to have a body more like their friends or favorite celebrities. To be clear, I perform a type of chest contouring or chest etching each and every time I treat a gynecomastia patient. My published zone classification system and seminal paper on the total removal of gynecomastia tissue are all about sculpting up the male chest to a higher degree of refinement that has ever been seen in the history of gynecomastia's treatment. Has been performed on many thousands of patients and has proven safe, effective, and makes for happy patients. I can't offer my patients abdominal etching because I can't say that the same procedure. I hope this helps. This is great because he's like shitting on abdominal etching. Meanwhile, I'll do this other plastic surgery for you. I'll get that chest looking fucking hot and sexy in a matter of a day. Yes. So another other news, I guess. Which that's not really news, I guess. If it's not, it's not the. You know, apparently this has been around for like 30 years. Been kind of a secret. As it has come out recently. Well, I mean, there's a few things in the news. Going back to I guess Pederass's Diddy. Diddy is on the fucking run. I need to look up if he's actually been in custody yet. Diddy motherfucker, let's look up some news. You want to see some real shit talking on Diddy? 50 Cent, man, follow him on Instagram. His ex, I guess, was apparently working as a sex worker for Diddy. But yeah, his home was raided, or several homes was raided, and as you know, he's always had like a lot of dirt on him, you know, Diddy. I want to say allegedly, because though, you know, I highly doubt Sean Combs is Mr. P. Diddy is listening to this fucking podcast, especially while he's on the run from the law. Although you never know. It could be just surfing the web, seeing what's out there. You know, he's been, you know, kind of tied to some shootings and stuff. I mean, there was, you know, the possibility, too, he kind of called for a hit on Tupac. Just saying, that's, you know, hearsay. He's been, you know, involved in stuff. I mean, he's a rap producer. There's just a lot of shit that's shown up about this, you know, he's charged with sex trafficking and stuff. And then there's this creepy old video with him and 15-year-old Justin Bieber where I think he said like Usher had custody of Bieber, and then Bieber was going to stay 48 hours with him and do exciting stuff that he can't fucking tell anybody about, and just weird shit. It just seems like a total creeper video. mean, it's fucking weird, man. And I never would have thought I would have felt bad for Justin Bieber, but watching that video is like, oh, this is kind of why he seems like kind of a fucked up person, is because he may have been passed around as some kind of been involved in some fucked up shit. Apparently, according to TMZ, he has appeared again in public with Stevie J. I don't know who the fuck Stevie J is. Let's see here. According to TMZ, Diddy is out and about in Miami, and he's even speaking now, too. Evidence in a new clip that an influencer took of the mogul out in the wild, who also captured Stevie J. Fitness trainer and life coach Wes Watson, who has more than 1 million followers on Instagram, posted a video and a photo on Friday that shows Diddy at a cafe in town called Pura Vida, and it looks like Puff was in a good mood, flashing a smile and even chatting. The guy's got a fuck ton of money. What does he give a shit? Unclear which location this was at specifically. There's a zillion of these in that area, but our bet is that it was one of the ones close to Diddy's home there on Star Island. Anyway, check out the clip. Diddy flashes an L with his fingers and says, love. He also says, what's up, to someone off camera and salutes them too. Funny enough, Wes actually caught Diddy's longtime bad boy collaborator and friend Stevie in the background as well. It's interesting that Stevie showed up here because he was also recently named in a lawsuit alongside Diddy, which included a salacious allegation that turned out not to be true. There was another guy rolling in the crew, but it's unclear who it might be. In any case, the point is Diddy is stepping out and living his life. More evidence he's not hiding out. Oh, so I guess maybe he's not currently being tracked by the law. I mean, they're obviously investigating his shit. I guess they don't feel the need to quite arrest him just yet. Anyway, remember, this is actually the second outing we've seen of Diddy in the past 24 hours. Thursday night, he and his teenage twin daughters hit up a Top Golf in town, and there too, Diddy didn't seem too stressed about the situation he found himself in this week. Of course, we're referring to the two raids his homes were subjected to, which left at least one of them that we know of completely trashed in the aftermath with the place looted. We know Diddy and co. are furious over the way this was all handled, especially since he hasn't been arrested or charged with a crime, and yet the Fed stormed on in regardless. He's not arrested yet because the dude's got a lot of money. And he's, you know, high profile. If this was a normal human being, everyday Joe, your ass would be in jail, I would assume. I'm just guessing. You know, from the stuff that I've seen that has come out, it seems like there's a lot of evidence to suggest that there's human trafficking and bad stuff. Allegedly. says here, it's also clear Diddy has a good support system around him, and while he's far from out of the woods at this point, he's at least comfortable enough to show his face in public. The saga continues, and at this rate, it feels like we'll be seeing and maybe hearing more from Diddy in the coming weeks, which I don't know if you've... Shannon Sharp has a show on YouTube, a little podcast. Great... tight end that of course played for the Denver Broncos, played with one John Elway, perhaps you've heard of him. They won two Super Bowls together. Damn good tight end. And of course he was I don't think he's part of the NFL broadcast anymore, but I mean he used to be a commentator for the NFL. I forgot if it was CBS or NBC. No, I guess it was CBS. On CBS. Shannon Sharp. Anyway, doesn't matter which state. Cat Williams was on Shannon Sharp's show a couple months ago or so. And Cat Williams was talking about... I had a good Cat Williams the other day, but I can't find it now. I don't listen to Cat Williams enough to fucking talk like him. But like, Cat was saying, he said like, Diddy, everybody's going down, man. And fucking Diddy... just naming names. And I never know what to believe with Cat Williams, though, because the dude says some out there shit. And, you know, he's But I mean, clearly he was right about Diddy. He says 2024, man. People, there's going to be all kinds of people going down like Diddy. And he sure fucking called it with the Diddy. Or, I mean, it seems that way. Of course, he hasn't been arrested. Dude's got a fuck ton of money. Fuck ton of money. I mean, look what Epstein did. Like, he got fucking arrested on those charges, you know, was it 10 or more years before, like, he had the that final arrest that really got him. But he basically got slapped on the wrist. He had was put on house arrest and shit, and he was fucking trafficking fucking minors, man. Sex trafficking minors. And all he did was just a little slap on the wrist. A little slap on the wrist. You're going to have to stay in your house. One of your many massive houses that are like a child's like playground. The weirdest shit stuff going on in there. Remember seeing like the shit in his house in New York. That was a fucked up place. But, you know, when you got that kind of money, you can pay off the DA and like everybody that's going to be prosecuting you. It's, you know, apparently it's fucking, you're only as free as how much you got in the bank. But apparently, yeah, Diddy's, it looks like there's some people might be going down over this. Some big people in the rap community. I was never, you know, a Diddy guy. I never was really a fan of Diddy. You know, Biggie did have a couple of good bangers, you know. I always hated that fucking, when Biggie died. And, Diddy, of course, put out, of course, he was Puff Daddy at the time, put out that basically ripoff of the, Police song, Every Breath You Take. And it was just like, yeah, yeah, rapping over that, Every Breath You Take. Which is a song about a stalker, it should be noted. I mean, you listen to the fucking lyrics of the original Every Breath You Take. It's, which I'm a fan of the Police. Not my favorite Police song, though. Not my favorite. So Lonely, I think, might be my, it's not a big hit, but So Lonely just might be my favorite. I guess because I've just kind of been there a lot of my times in my life and just so lonely. It's just, I really felt a connection to that one. But I mean, the Police, don't get me in how much I love the Police, but and the band. I'm not saying, you know, some cops are good, but, you know, there's a lot of shitty ones. I can't say I love all the Police. Can't say that. I don't hate them all either, but there's quite a few of them that are fucking assholes. Anyway. with absolute power, what is it? Absolute power corrupts absolutely, is the old saying. From anyway. Neither here nor there. My point I was getting at is like, I, you know, was a fan of the Police, and it was just when Biggie died and then like Diddy puts out this fucking song, and it was you could not get away from hearing that fucking song. It was just like, fuck you, man. You're capitalizing off your quote unquote friend's death by just doing a fucking re-putting out the Every Breath You Take. And I just hope, I don't think Diddy and Sting are really friends, maybe, but I just hope that Sting's not involved. There's apparently a lot of people that do as apparently there was the rumor, it was a joke that Diddy said he had to pay Sting $5,000 a day for sampling. So that would be great. Let's see. What does Sting think of Diddy? There we go. Diddy. Let's. It's just all articles about, does he really have to pay Sting $5,000 a day? Just tell me what the motherfucker thinks. I want to know Does Sting like Diddy? Because I want to make sure that Sting isn't just show up. I'm thinking he's probably not hanging out with Diddy. I could be wrong. All it is just talk about this. There's an insane amount of articles about this. Maybe if I just put Sting hates Diddy, if that I hope that's the case. I hope that's the case. Anyway, what I was getting to, let's see here. No. It's just all leading to that fucking all these articles about there was a case about, let's see here. Let's dig into some stuff here. This is off Us Weekly. Diddy's ups and downs over the years, name changes, lawsuits, home raid, and more. You know, there is the, I would think that, I was wondering, you know, because there was it Keefy D? I think it's Keefy D, the one that is now being charged with killing Tupac, or one of the people. I believe. Maybe I'm wrong on that. I might be wrong on that. Anyway. You know, it's been rumored that, you know, P. Diddy had called for the hit. Anyway. Let's find out. Says Sean Diddy Combs has faced a lot of ups and downs in his career and personal life. Diddy began his career in the 90s as an intern for Uptown Records after dropping out of Howard University. He worked his way up to become a talent director at the label and went on to help develop artists Jodeci and Mary J. Blige. After he was fired from the label in 93, he decided to venture out to create his own label, Bad Boy Records. Under his leadership, he catapulted his own musical career in addition to several other big names, including Faith Evans, Machine Gun Kelly, Notorious B.I.G., and more. Which his was like, basically was just that fucking Sting song. That was his big thing, which when his buddy died, here, I'm going to put this out. Anyway, which he did a little bit more than that, but I mean, that was his only big hit, if I recall. While Diddy proved himself as a successful businessman, he also faced a lot of scandals during his reign, including legal trouble, assault charges, several sexual misconduct allegations, and more. Keep scrolling to see Diddy's ups and downs over the years. 91, while working at Uptown Records, Diddy headlined a charity concert with Heavy D at the City College of New York City. The event was oversold and led to a stampede. 9 people were killed. No criminal charges were filed following the incident. 93, following his departure from Uptown, Diddy entered a joint venture deal with Arista Records to create Bad Boy Records. His first major client was Notorious B.I.G., whom he brought over from Uptown. That same year, Diddy founded his label. He was also welcomed his first child, son Justin, with ex Misa Hylton. Misa, I guess is how you say her. Anyway. 94, he began dating Kim Porter, adopted his son Quincy from a previous relationship. In 97... under the stage name Puff Daddy, Diddy dropped his debut single Can't Nobody Hold Me Down, which I don't remember that one, which became his first number one song. I guess he had more than one hit. Number one song on Billboard Hot 100. Following the track's success, he released his debut album, No Way Out. The album included several of Diddy's most successful songs as It's All About the Benjamins. Okay, I do remember that. Been Around the World, Victory, and I'll Be Missing You. Yeah, which was a tribute to Notorious B.I.G., who was murdered earlier that year. In 98, Diddy got his first Grammy win when he took home trophies for Best Rap Album, Best Rap Performance by a Duo Group for I'll Be Missing You. The same year, he also started his Sean John clothing line, Welcome Son Christian. Where's the fucking big shit here? 99, the producer was charged with assaulting Interscope Records executive Steve Stout, who's managed now. You know, it doesn't even mention, like, the kill. It just briefly kind of mentioned, oh, Biggie died. Not the fact that he was killed and Tupac was killed. And, like, there was... Most of this isn't. Oh, here we go. 2002. Following the success of I'll Be Missing You, Sting sued Diddy for royalties after the rapper used The Police's Every Breath You Take as a sample without permission. Okay. I was thinking it was without permission, but I couldn't remember. Sting won the case and received 100% of the song royalties, with payments reportedly going until 2053. Fuck yeah, Sting. Fuck yeah. I was thinking that, like, he was not really a fan of the whole thing. I couldn't remember what played out over that, but that's more of probably the reason why I disliked Diddy. That same year, Diddy took the reins over the MTV version of Making the Band, which Lou Pearlman originally oversaw for the first season when it aired on ABC. Diddy played a role in helping from Da Band, Danity Kane, Day 26, and Donnie Klang. Oh, he performed at the Super Bowl 2004. Yeah. I don't remember that. I know I probably watched that. Well, I was trying to think. 2004, where I would have been working. I would have been working at Magna. I probably did watch that Super Bowl. I don't remember who was in it. I probably did skipped over the fucking halftime show, though. Probably. Let's see here. This isn't getting into, like, the really big scandals, man. In 2015, he was arrested for aggravated assault after an altercation with his son's football coach at UCLA. Just being a jackass is what that sounds like. Doesn't sound like too crazy. Yeah, I feel like this is just not going into the real crazy shit. I mean, it gets more into the lawsuit that's going on now. But yeah, it's good to know that Sting sued the shit out of him. You don't fuck with the police, right? They'll fuck you up. The band, or apparently, you know, anybody. And don't be an acorn. They'll fuck acorns up. That fucking acorn video, man. Where those cops... Well, the one cop just starts unloading on his own squad car, thinking the guy that he cuffed and threw in the back was somehow firing at him. And that video is so insane. And the crazy part is, like, he unloads his whole mag into the vehicle, and then his partner sees what's going on and just assumes, like, oh, the guy in the vehicle must be shooting at my partner. And then I'm pretty sure she unloads, like, her old mag in it too. And amazingly enough, neither one of them actually managed to hit the guy in the vehicle. I don't know if that's just states how well shielded cop cars are, which I would imagine they'd have to be. But I think the shocking part is, I mean, if you're going to unload a whole mag and not manage to, two cops unloading mags and not manage to at least graze the guy, like, pretty, that's something. That makes me wonder, like, do you guys even, like, do, like, shooting drills? Do you, like, go to the shooting range? You working on this at all? apparently they don't know the difference between the sound of an acorn hitting a vehicle and a gunshot. That's something. Dude must have been on edge that day, man. Like, he was on edge. Here's some fucking acorns in your vehicle. Holy fuck, I'm getting shot at. I don't know if he was on something, but you feel like, you know, he was super paranoid for some reason. They're just ready to fucking pounce. Just ready to bust a cap. Anyway, that's fun stuff. Another day in America. Anyway, I lost track of where I was going. And then, yeah, there was the whole bridge thing too. That's fucked up. And no, I don't believe in any conspiracy theories of what brought that ferry to hit the fucking bridge. Well, I guess it's not a ferry, but the cargo ship, what have you. It's pretty crazy that only like six people died out of that. That amazingly enough, when it hit, it just, you know, thankfully happened, I guess, early in the morning. don't remember what time it was. But there was six workers on the bridge. It's amazing that there was no traffic going across. I can't imagine, man, that I imagine a lot of people now driving over bridges or, you know, having to work on a bridge. I wouldn't want to fucking work on a bridge after seeing that. Be a fucking worker and be like, what the fuck's going to happen? When am I just going to jump at the water? Like, what, like, that's way too high up and it's going to probably fucking kill you jumping in the water. I mean, there was no hope for those guys on that bridge, man. I mean, they were just fucked. Oh, well, I mean, I guess they did find two of them. So, I mean, it's possible to escape death from that, but shit, man. I believe the water was like fucking ice cold too. And, so, I mean, even if they survive hitting the water, you know, hypothermia, there's just not a lot of good odds. And it was too dark to be able to, send divers and shit in there. And with all the, debris and everything that was in the water, just crazy, man. That fucking video, I mean, just massive fucking ship hitting that fucking bridge. There was no way that thing was gonna stay up, man. And I've seen videos of, you know, plenty of bridges like collapsing too, just from being in poor shape. And I mean, this had nothing to do with what took that out. I mean, it was just, that ship was just way too fucking big to be hitting that bridge. But I would imagine, you know, a lot of people that drive over bridges now are just going to be like, their butthole's going to be tightened up real tight while driving over that bridge. Be like, you see a boat, like, oh, fuck. You stay in your lane, boat. You stay in your lane. Don't hit this bridge, motherfucker. I think I'll be all right going over a bridge, though. I feel like knowing that, and like, I mean, if I could get on a plane, you know, a day after, like, get on a plane going overseas a day after a massive airliner fucking disappears, the MH317, I guess it is, something like 314, whatever the flight number was, the Malaysian Airlines flight that just still hasn't really been found. People have a good idea at this point. Where-ish? I guess a couple of parts have been found off the thing. Knowing that I could do that and survive, you know, I've ran across the bridge here in town. I'll probably do that again at some point. Driven across it a lot. though this bridge here in Washington, I mean, it's not that big of a bridge. There's not massive cargo ships that are like going under it very frequently. There's some fairly large ships that I guess would probably take out the bridge that have gone under there, you know, probably on a daily basis. I don't know how often they go through there. I mean, there's the Missouri River going underneath it, but it's not. I feel like if I'm in a car, at least,
I'd have to watch the fucking boat to be able to speed up, you know, fast enough to get the fuck off the bridge. But, I mean, that bridge did go down fast, though. I mean, there's probably nothing I could do, but, you know, I feel like my odds are pretty good that I'm not going to be on a bridge when it collapses. I feel pretty confident on that. You never know, though. Going back to Diddy for a second, man, I was thinking the other day that if he does go to jail over this, which sounds like this is a very strong possibility. I mean, it sounds like he even had like a Ghislaine Maxwell type. I don't remember who the name of this woman is, but there's some dirt going at it. Apparently he's got compromising video, if you will. On a lot of the people that were staying at his house and stuff. He recorded all this shit, so he's got video on all kinds of people. This should be no shocker with the news that came out about him in the last couple of years, but Cuba Gooding Jr. was apparently hanging out with Diddy at one point, and he's apparently named it in the lawsuit, but not really as a co-conspirator or anything, that he's not really charged with anything. I don't know, we'll see how that plays out.
But anyway, if Diddy goes to jail, I wonder if he'll be put in with Suge Knight. I mean, that could be. What is that for? Like, how's that for like irony? If that would happen, I don't think so. I don't think they would probably be in the same location. He's probably going to be on different coast jail. You know what I'm saying? He's an East Coast guy. Suge Knight, I'm pretty sure, is in a jail on the West Coast. That rivalry will still happen. But, you know, maybe they'll be like, you know what, maybe these old friends need to to meet up. Because, you know, there was the possibility that the two of them were behind the, you know, calling on hits for possibly behind calling for hits, you know, Biggie and Tupac. So, and even if they weren't, like, it, I would imagine these two hate each other to a degree that, you know, is hard to imagine, like, hating somebody. I mean, you know, killing your friends, even if, I mean, even if neither one of them actually called for the murder of said individual, I would think that the other person would probably find that hard to believe that it wasn't. And probably a lot of bad blood between those two. And, I, you know, Suge Knight's a brute of a dude. I don't think Diddy would stand a chance against Suge Knight. Like, I mean, I don't remember if Suge Knight actually killed that dude. I know he attempted to kill that guy, like, in public. He did hang, you know, Vanilla Ice over that balcony what was it, sampling? I forgot what the whole thing was over. Why he fucking hung Vanilla Ice, shaking him down for whatever reason. I don't remember the story about that. I just remember on, like, VH1 Behind the Music on Vanilla Ice, Suge Knight hung him over a fucking balcony. And Vanilla Ice still very much alive. So that's good for him, man. It's good for him. Have a run in like that with Suge Knight and still be breathing. I was like, getting back to like the Diddy, like, you know, I was never really a fan of Diddy. Like, I liked some of like the, I guess, Biggie stuff, but like, you know, West, if I'm going rap, and especially like gangster rap, I mean, I'm going like West Coast, baby. You know, give me some Dr. Dre, some Snoop, you know. I mean, I'm not a pothead, but The Chronic is a great fucking album. And Snoop's like first, like, big album was pretty fantastic. I mean, I have seen Snoop live, but it wasn't, you know, I didn't go out specifically to see Snoop live. I went to Lollapalooza in 97. He was just on the bill. you know, I've liked some rap back in the day. Back in the day, don't really listen to so much of it anymore, but I mean, I'll listen to some classic shit. I mean, I'll listen to shit like Warren G with the Regulate, which is just fucking some classic stuff. Classic stuff. And I wasn't a big fan of Tupac, though. Like, Tupac, I mean, California Love, I mean, that song is fucking fantastic. But I wouldn't say I've like gone into a real deep dive on Tupac. I was not like a huge fan. So I mean, those wars against the West and East Coast, I could have gave a shit less. I wasn't that big into rap. I enjoy some of the songs, but you know, to coast, I always thought it was a bit ridiculous. Like, these motherfuckers are making so much money, and for that to happen, and for those two to get murdered and everything like that, it's like, you know, at a certain point, like, you're making a certain amount of money, you can still live in, like, you're living in the fucking hood. Like, what the fuck are you, you know, people still, like, acting like that. You know, I'm still a gangster. Like, you don't need to be at that point. What the fuck? It's a little confusing. But I guess, I mean, if that's the way you grew up, just that kind of mentality. I guess it's hard to like shake that kind of mentality. I wouldn't know. I didn't grow up in that bad of neighborhoods, thankfully. I grew up in some poorer areas, but I mean, I wasn't getting shot at or anything like that. My life wasn't constantly under threat. And I didn't feel like I had to validate myself by threatening other people's lives. So that's you know, a plus. I'll give that a win for myself, even though I don't have millions of dollars to speak of. Because I haven't won that goddamn Powerball yet. And somebody stole my Mega Millions jackpot the other day. Those motherfuckers. They're lucky I'm not a fucking gangster. I'll fucking track them down. But I'm not. So I guess I won't. Anyway. I did get in some board games last night. Or yesterday, man. Went over to Jackman's. Of course, his son, Ben, his birthday was last Monday, which I was over there for that, too. Unfortunately, I had gotten him some movie. Ben, I had gotten him some movies for his birthday. He's gotten into the Fast and the Furious, and he asked me if, like, I like the Fast and the Furious. Unfortunately, I'm like, I feel kind of bad because there's hard, you know. I lived in their house for many years, and he looks up to me in a lot of ways, and I feel like I've let the kid down a lot, unfortunately. And it's like, oh, because he knows I like movies a lot, and I'm like, oh. You know, Fast and Furious, not one something that I've really been into, but I was like, well, since he liked Fast and Furious, I thought he maybe liked some other movies, so I got him, of course, Gone in 60 Seconds, and... the Nick Cage version, not the original version, but the Nick Cage classic, Gone in 60 Seconds. And the Tarantino film, it was, the Tarantino film Death Proof, because, you know, if he liked movies about cars, I figured, like, yeah, fuck yeah, let's get him these, because Death Proof, I mean, it's got Kurt Russell about him with that fucking awesome Nova. It's a great fucking Nova. I think it's a 72 Nova in that film, which I'm more of a fan of Death Proof than I am Gone in 60 Seconds, but goddamn, that car, like, I'm not a fan of Angelina Jolie, which is mainly why I don't really care for the movie. I mean, I love some classically bad Nick Cage, though. And it's, you know, Nick Cage being Nick Cage and Gone in 60 Seconds. It's not as awesome as, say, like a Face Off, but it's got its moments. And that car, the Eleanor, that, was it 67 Mustang in it? That thing is a beautiful car. It's just an awesome fucking car. it's saying that, like, I'm looking at the package. It's still saying it's lost. It's like 2 weeks late. Fucking getting here. Says it may be lost, so I guess I can cancel it and get a refund. I can get a refund. If I receive it, then I can get the refund. This is fucking retarded. Your package may be lost. Maybe. I'm thinking it, like, it was just shipping, I think, from fucking Fenton. It's like a 30-minute drive. It's been gone for, like, a couple of weeks now. Clearly, you motherfuckers lost the package. It may be lost. Obviously, it's lost, you fuckers. See here, cancel and get a refund, you bastards. See here, you motherfuckers. Do do do. Says, cancellation request received. We received your cancellation request, and we'll let you know when your refund has been issued. Ba-ba. Get a refund. Get a refund. Well, da-ba, ba-da-ba-ba. As, oh, I got to contact him. This is like a real... Ba-ba-ba, I can chat with them. Anyway. Oh, you know what I was going to talk about? Other than just, like, talking about... unfortunately, I did. I think Ben would really like going in 60 seconds. Death Proof. I don't know. His parents may not still want him to see that. I mean, there's a lot of... They're still, I think, unable to watch, like, rated R films, even though he's just turned 12. I was watching them a fuck ton by that point. But, you know, I'm not maybe the... I don't know that I'm the greatest example of what you want to turn out in life. So maybe they're not wrong to censor some of that stuff. But I don't know. I think it'd be a fine movie for him to watch. I mean, it's one of Tarantino's goodies. Anyway. Before doing this podcast, I was playing a game that it's been out for shit. I don't know, maybe a decade at this point. It's been a while. It's been put out a while ago. When it came out, it was really big on streamers on Twitch. A lot of fucking. I think you can still see people streaming this one. But Getting Over It with Bennett Foddy, which I've had for a couple of years. The game, you can get it on Steam. I think you can get it on the fucking iPhone now, on the App Store. Anyway, of course, if you're unfamiliar, you got the character, some kind of like Greek name, Dionysus or something. Not sure what the guy's name is, but it appears to be a naked fella, at least naked from the waist up, because that's all you can see of him. And he's stuck inside a cauldron, like a witch's cauldron. And of course, he's got a hammer that, and the whole game, all you're controlling is that fucking hammer. Swinging that hammer, you're using the mouse to swing the hammer and climb. And at any point, you can fall back to the very beginning of the fucking game. It's meant to be just a game that's going to get you pissed off, get you all fired up, and like, motherfucker, fuck this game, fuck it, fuck all, fuck all. You sons of bitches. Fuck you, Bennett Foddy. The game's about overcoming adversity, you know? You might get just struck right back down to the start. You can get to the very tippy top and then just fall right back down and get right back to square one. As, yeah, it can be very aggravating. And so far, I've reached to what they consider, I guess, stage two. That's as far as I've gotten. I've gotten past the Devil's Chimney, I think is what they refer to, which is the end of like what they consider stage one. And I've gotten, I think, fairly far on stage two. I don't know. I know that to begin considered stage three, it's the church, which I have not gotten to the church. I have not made it to stage three. But from what I understand, only about 40% of the players make it past stage one, past that Devil's Chimney. And so I feel pretty ecstatic about that. I just recently started playing it again, which I never played it that much. I don't like getting pissed off at a game much, so... but I just recently, I mean, just in the last couple days, I got it to stage two. I was like, ooh, maybe I can actually beat this game. And... I like being in a higher percentage on things. That's why I was like, oh, I'm going to run a marathon, because I read that only like 1% of the population can run a marathon or something like that. And I think that's more of just only 1% of the population has attempted to run a marathon. Now that I've been involved with it, I think it's more of just a desire. But I guess it's the same thing with this game. Just not enough people desire to want to fucking beat the damn thing. I feel like I could eventually beat it if I played it enough. It's just, do I want to keep playing this game is more of the issue. I should probably just watch some speed run throughs of it so I know what's coming ahead, what to look for. And like there's sweet spots on where to hit that hammer and everything. It gets a little, what screws me up in the game is like spinning around the hammer. Like when you latch onto something and you move one way, you have to move the mouse the opposite way. Cause like it turns depending how he's held in the hammer, which way you have to turn the mouse. It gets a little screwy in some situations. But I mean, I would imagine I'm probably at least like halfway through stage two. Where I'm at, I get to some big slide. And I've gotten, a little bit past that slide. I'm thinking the church can't be too far away. but yeah, it is an infuriating game at times. I haven't gotten that pissed off at it, but I was getting frustrated enough to where Agent Fox Mulder here was getting, like, worrying, I think, and he was meowing at me. Like, dude. And he was getting angry. I'm like, it's all good. I'm just playing a game, dude. It's a little frustrating, and you're not helping. Your frustration, although I think he was more hungry because it was about feeding time. I was gone for like almost 12 hours yesterday. And I think that, you know, upset the little guy a little bit. He's like, what the fuck? Where you at? This is not our routine. If you're gone, it's usually 8 to, I guess, maybe 10 hours. I haven't done a 10-hour day in a really long time, but, well, I guess I did it when I was doing the part-time work at Magnet. Anyway, he's just not used to me being gone for that long, going from noon to, you know, 10:30. Not quite 10 hours or 12 hours. Anyway, it's totally screwed up the routine. He felt very slighted. And, I had to make it up to him. I had to give him delectables, and he knows I'm talking about him. He's walking over here. He's like, what's up, dude? You going to give me some more delectables? You going to give me some more treats? Yeah, you heard delectable. You know what delectables are, don't you? He's underneath my leg. He's going to start biting. He's rubbing the chair. He knows what's up. I think that's cue that I need to wrap this shit up. Oh yeah, here he is. He's biting. He's getting over it. He's getting over it. He's gonna climb over this chair. He's gonna show me what's up. He's like, this is how you. He's basically got like that hammer up front. He's got the one leg. You know, of course, he's missing the one leg up front. So it's almost like he's like in that game, except for he's got the two legs in the back instead of a cauldron. Now, I'm just imagining him like stuck in some kind of box or something and having to use the one leg to like, climb over everything. I bet he could do it. I'm not going to do it to him because that's some abuse towards animals. That's just a little wrong. But the image in my head, I mean, he could totally do it. He could totally do it. That leg's got to be strong as shit. Anyway. yeah, I guess that's about all I've got. As always, that is a kid in a wheelchair, not a trash can.